Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of We the People Standing Together to Protect Our Climate, Lessons from the Community Rights Movement. Thursday, May 14th at 7 p.m. at the Elliott Chapel in the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Paul Cienfuegos is presenting this original speech and will lead a community conversation about the community rights movement and how civic engagement can lead to reclaiming the structures of law. Again, that's Paul Cienfuegos with We the People Standing Together to Protect Our Climate, Thursday, May 14th at 7 p.m. at the Elliott Chapel at the First Unitarian Church, 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
KBOO would like to say thank you to our community partners that are feeding our volunteers today. Breakfast is from Crema Bakery at 2728 Southeast Ankeny, serving morning pastries, coffee, teas, cakes, sandwiches, and soups. Lunch is from Bridges Cafe and Catering at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, committed to using local and organic ingredients. Breakfast served all day and lunch on weekdays. Dinner is from Marrakesh at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, open daily 5 to 10 p.m. with belly dancing Wednesday through Sunday, serving Moroccan cuisine since 1989.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
All right, coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Senator Ron Wyden announces that he has reached a deal with Republicans and will now support the Fast Track Authority to allow the president to negotiate the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The Senate has scheduled a vote for tomorrow.
The U.S. House votes in favor of a bill promoted by Senator Ron Wyden to curtail surveillance by the NSA.
And Portland City Council takes a vote amidst an uproar in today's meeting to go ahead with the demolition of an historic water reservoir.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member right now by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Ethan Martin. Portland City Council today voted unanimously to raise the minimum wage for contractors and some full-time workers. The move would raise wages for contractors who operate out of city buildings, including security guards, parking attendants, and janitors. The measure was introduced by Portland Mayor Charlie Hales and Commissioner Dan Saltzman in February. The increase will cost an additional $900,000 to implement. Portland's minimum wage has been a target of grassroots organizers, including labor organizations. 15 Now PDX, a group that advocates for a minimum wage increase, is also working at the state level to roll back laws barring municipalities from setting their own minimum wage. Commissioner Amanda Fritz says that raising wages for some 2,000 parks workers who remain classified as seasonal and part-time remains a priority. The wage increase is part of the 2016 city budget, which will be voted on in June. In today's afternoon session, citizen activists took over Portland City Council chambers. KBOO's Joe Meyer was at City Hall and filed this report.
A group of water activists briefly took over City Council chambers in the afternoon session. They were protesting the lack of public process around the destruction of the Washington Park reservoirs. As City Council tried to move forward on the vote, dozens of citizens stood up and chanted no. When the crowd wouldn't settle down, council was adjourned. A half hour later, the mayor came back to try to make his case.
You're not going to let anybody testify.
No,
Alright, then you're not.
This is a land use hearing. We're required to do it in a certain way. We've done it that way. It's state law. Don't snort at me. It's state law. Okay? Excuse me. Do you want to listen at all, or do you want to just shout?
Please.
Listen, we've had multiple public hearings on this. Now is the point at which we're supposed to decide this. That's what the law says we're supposed to do. We follow the law, okay? And I know you don't like it, but
you didn't build that reservoir.
I sure didn't.
100 years ago,
and you didn't
us.
Either. So hear me
for
out.
Us.
We have to make this decision. We have to do it in a certain way. If you're going to insist, if you're going to insist, if you're not going to let me finish a sentence, then we're not communicating.
Are you telling that you are barred by statute?
Yeah.
That's nonsense.
You may not take our water.
Go to your room.
After the mayor was again shouted out, I talked to several other protesters.
I would leave if Charlie Hills would go on TV and tell people that he has already taken campaign money from CH2M Hill. The people who stand to make millions of dollars from this vote right here. If he would disclose, yes, I have already taken campaign contributions from CH2M Hill. I'll go feed squirrels.
Sir?
Well, we just heard Charlie Hills attempt to say that they're here to do the public's business, but they're actually not here to do the public's business, and that's why we're here. And I think that the most powerful thing that we the people can do today is to ensure that the vote doesn't happen by remaining in this room, because we know it's going to be 5-0 or 4-1.
The vote is going to happen today, probably. They probably will come back and take the vote. It'll be 5-0 or 4-1. You're absolutely right. However, please, people, think about this. I've been doing this for a long time. You make them pay a price for this vote. And the way you make them pay a price is to sit here and make them wait on you.
That's right.
Let them make the next move.
That's right.
We have the chamber. Right. It's called a sit-in.
Yep.
We will sit here until we decide to leave.
Portland City Council eventually voted 5-0 to move ahead with the destruction of the Washington Park reservoirs. The votes weren't heard because of the shouting and were counted nonetheless. And this is Joe Meyer with KBOO News.
After voting down special fast-tracked authorization for the Obama administration to enact the controversial Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, Senate Democrats reached a compromise with the Republican leadership to revive the measure. A new version of the TPP bill, supported by Oregon Senator Ron Wyden and New York Senator Chuck Schumer, would grant the president the same authority, but includes additional legislation that had been favored by Democrats. Wyden, who led the negotiations for the Democrats, proudly announced the deal at a news conference, despite previously expressing opposition to the TPP. The measure includes a so-called Trade Adjustment Assistance Program, or TAA, which provides support for U.S. workers who lose their jobs to overseas competition. However, critics highly doubt that this could counteract the negative effects of the TPP for American workers. Before voting on the compromise bill, as another part of the deal, the Senate will first vote on a measure to crack down on alleged currency manipulation by trade partners, which is generally seen as targeting China. The currency problem involves partners deliberately lowering the value of their own currency, which makes their exports cheaper and raises the relative prices of U.S. goods. The Senate vote is expected to take place tomorrow. If the bill receives the 60 votes required for approval, it will then move to the House of Representatives. KBOO's Nathan Bahensky spoke with Adam Weissman of the group Trade Justice about the developments in the Senate and the nature of the TPP.
Never a doubt in anyone's mind that Ron Wyden ultimately was going to be a fast-track supporter. The question really was, would he vote with the Democrats in that essentially procedural vote? And now that the Democrats are going a different way on the procedural vote, he, of course, voted differently. So we did not think that Ron Wyden had suddenly seen the light and was now a changed man as far as fast-track was concerned. So he needs to keep feeling pressure. But even perhaps even more importantly, Oregon's many representatives need to feel pressure, because we absolutely need to keep up the pressure in the House of Representatives. If we look at the numbers on the fast track vote, even with the Democrats voting against closure, they still had, they didn't reach the 60-vote threshold, but the final vote was still 54 to 45. So they did have a majority to pass. They did have a majority on the side of moving ahead on that vote. A fast-track vote in the end will probably look something like that in the Senate. That we shouldn't not say we should give up the Senate, but the Senate is going to be a tougher battle. At this point in the House, they don't have the votes to pass fast-track. They're fighting to get those votes. So if we keep leaning on our representatives and letting our representatives know that we care about this issue, that we will vote for them or not vote for them on the basis of how they vote on this issue, there are a lot of Oregon reps who have not been going the right way on this issue and really need to hear from voters. And they need to hear that they'll be held accountable by voters if they do not recognize that fast track is a job killer, that fast track will open the door for trade agreements like TPP that are job killers, that are sovereignty killers, that are an attack on labor rights and environmental protections, that are basically deals like TPP and TTIP and the Trade and Services Agreement are backroom corporate power grabs negotiated in secret with corporate advisors having the inside track access, and we the people, the media, and even our legislators not having the access that the corporations have. Our legislators can now read this legislation or the negotiations in a closed door room and hopefully memorize what they can and walk out and then be sworn to secrecy on what they've seen. We the people can't even do that.
That was Adam Wiseman of the group Trade Justice about how U.S. Senate Democrats led by Ron Wyden today voiced support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership and scheduled a vote to fast-track the agreement tomorrow.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Rolf and Linda to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Yes, you can do that by calling 877-500-5266, or you can go online, kboo.fm, and donate now. There's a place to click. And
there's one other way that you can do that, and that is by driving down here. We're on 20 Southeast 8th
Avenue. Yeah, through
rush
hour traffic, and come down here at 20 Southeast 8th. But if
you know, it's inner Burnside area, easy to get to us. We're right by the Jupiter Hotel.
Yeah.
Come on by, and we'll give you a tour. Or you can go to kboo.fm.
Or 877-500-5266. This is the local news you're hearing. This is the news unfiltered and unvarnished. You know, it's basically what you're going to hear when people give you the news rather than having news filtered by the corporations and advertising dollars and all the strings attached that you'll hear on the regular news.
As a matter of fact, this is the kind of news where you can come down and get trained as a reporter at no cost to you and become a reporter for the KBOO News, read a story on the news, or become an anchor for the news because you have a passion about real news getting out there instead of the pablum you see on TV. In fact, most of the TV news I see anymore doesn't even relate to what I would have normally considered news issues. You know, it'll be about a fire dog or something like that.
Or some celebrity, Britney Spears or
had a baby or whatever it is. And it's not really trying to inform you of anything except making sure that you're properly set up to buy something that they advertise to you.
Yeah.
That's not what you're going to find here at KBOO. You'll find some underwriting. It's where local businesses support us. We don't do commercials with them. They get to have their business associated with KBOO. And there's lots who want to do that. Why don't you associate your name with KBOO?
877-500-5266. Make that call now. We need your support. $40, $60, whatever you can afford. It's tax deductible. We're just asking you to be part of the community and to help out. You're a listener now. Take it one step more and become an active member. And join
jump
us.
Jump on the bandwagon and become a member. You know, it's a lot of fun being part of KBOO. And when you're out there in the community and people are talking about cool Portland things, KBOO is definitely one.
877-500-5266. Let's go back to the news.
That's right.
Three people were charged today for their role in last year's shooting outside of Rosemary Anderson High School in North Portland. 16-year-old Marquis Murphy was sentenced to 10 years in prison after pleading guilty on attempted murder and assault charges. Murphy opened fire on students in front of the school last December, wounding four students, one seriously. Murphy's brother, Lonzo Murphy, age 22, was given over 7 years in prison, while Markel Dugas, age 18, was given a little over 8 years. The two were given charges alongside Murphy for what the prosecution deemed as accompanying him and aiding him in the shooting. All three are said to be members of a blood gang sect called the Lincoln Park Bloods. Witnesses said they heard Marquis Murphy yell something related to his gang affiliation during the shooting, while his brother said that Marquis opened fire because he thought he saw a student outside the high school reaching for the waistband of his pants while the three walked by. Marquis Murphy may be released on parole in 8.5 years in juvenile detention.
An inmate who died in custody at the Marion County Jail in Salem yesterday of an apparent suicide by hanging, police officials have said. 34-year-old Nicholas Stevens of Dallas was found unresponsive in his cell yesterday and pronounced dead minutes afterward. An investigation by the Linn County Sheriff's determined that Stevens hung himself with a bedsheet in his cell. The Oregon State Medical Examiner conducted the autopsy. Linn County Sheriff Bruce Riley said that customarily an outside agency will investigate when a death occurs in the custody of another. Stevens was booked into the Marion County Jail in March on a 90-day sentence for driving under the influence of intoxicants.
The Port of Portland heard testimony today from community members opposed to a proposed propane export terminal to be sited in North Portland. A coalition of environmental groups, including Portland Rising Tide, the Audubon Society, and others, testified that they are opposed to the project. The terminal, which would be operated by Pembina, would see a large influx of rail cars containing liquid propane be transported through the Columbia River Gorge to an export facility in North Portland. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales withdrew his previous support for the project last week, but both the Port of Portland and Pembina have said they are still working to bring the terminal to the city. The city was set to hold a public hearing about a zoning code necessary to build the export facility on June 10th, but that hearing has been suspended indefinitely. KBOO's Mike Klepfer spoke with Loewen Berman of Portland Rising Tide about this afternoon's hearing.
Mr. Berman, can you explain what happened at the Port of Portland Commission meeting this morning?
Quite a few people showed up to speak to them about their continuing efforts to bring the Pembina propane terminal to Portland. Although the item was not on the agenda, they did have an agenda item regarding risk management, and that gave people an opportunity to speak about the risks involved in bringing that propane terminal to Portland, both the risks for Portland and Oregon and the rest of the world.
What are those risks?
It starts with the extraction of propane, which is done by hydraulic gas fracking, which creates terrible problems with poisoning of groundwater and surface, both surface water and groundwater, as well as polluting the air and creating seismic issues. Then there is the transportation of the propane, which is done partially by pipeline, but the proposal for Portland is that it be brought to Portland from Alberta, Canada, via units trains. These are trains that are a mile and a half long and have upwards of 100 cars. There is a lot of testimony regarding all of the recent explosions of fossil fuel trains all across the country, and the fact that these trains would be traveling right through the heart of Portland, right through the center of North Portland, and that they would also be coming to the proposed propane terminal. And they're talking about moving 37,000 barrels per day of propane to this terminal. The propane would then be stored in 30 million gallon refrigerated pressurized tanks, which, if they were to explode, could take out a good part of Portland, a good part of North Portland, the Portland Airport, etc. The propane would be loaded onto what are called very large gas carriers, which would stop traffic on the Columbia River as they went out Columbia to the ocean, where they would be transported to Asia, where they would presumably be burned, the propane be burned.
Now, Portland Mayor Charlie Hales has reversed his previous position and said that he's opposed to the propane terminal, but the company behind it, Pembina, and the Port of Portland have signaled that they continue to support the building of the terminal. What is Rising Tide and any other environmental groups doing to maintain pressure on both Pembina and the Port of Portland?
Well, I mean, the issue is, at this point, things are somewhat confused, because in order to build this terminal, they have to get permission to cross a protected riparian zone with a pipeline to connect these refrigerated monster tanks with the very large gas carriers. And that requires a zoning change. And the city council would have to approve the zoning change. And at this point, the city council has stated that they have taken the issue after the mayor reversed his position. The mayor's office has announced that the item that had been on the agenda to vote on this on June 10th has been taken off the agenda and would not be rescheduled. So although the city council hasn't voted down the zoning change, neither have they voted up zoning change, which they would be required to do, and they have apparently no intention of meeting in order to do that. So it appears that in terms of the zoning change, this is a dead issue. Now, whether or not the port and Pembina could find some way to sidestep that still remains to be seen, and things are developing very rapidly. Rising Tide has certainly indicated its willingness on several occasions in the last year to engage in direct action to try and block any attempts to build or expand or move this project forward, and has made clear that they and others would do the same thing again.
Mr. Berman, I think that's all the time we have. Lowen Berman, I want to thank you for your time.
Sure.
For KBOO News, I'm Mike Klepfer.
In related fossil fuel news, observers in Michigan are questioning a settlement the state has reached with Canadian petroleum giant Enbridge regarding 2010's Kalamazoo River tar sands oil spill. Enbridge has agreed, 5 years after the fact, to pay a total of $75 million for restoration and cleanup costs. The payoff includes $35 million in cleanup efforts already undertaken and a further $40 million for continuing restoration work. The Kalamazoo River spill is considered the largest inland oil spill in U.S. history. The spill affected more than 38 miles of the Kalamazoo River and 4,435 acres of adjacent shoreline habitat. Enbridge has reportedly also spent more than $1 billion on cleanup of the spill, and it is expected to face further federal fines for the rupture. A report following the spill blasted Enbridge for ignoring more than 5 years' worth of warnings regarding pipeline safety. James Clift, policy director with the Michigan Environmental Council, worried that this won't be the last time we see spills like this. We want to make sure companies are doing everything possible to protect water resources in Michigan. Clift's concerns were supported by the fact that the fines Michigan negotiated were relatively low. Noah Hall, an expert in environmental and water law with Wayne State University in Detroit, told Michigan Radio that the settlement does not seem to be penalizing Enbridge.
An Oregon judge has ruled against two teenagers who filed a lawsuit against the state of Oregon for failing to protect their futures against the dangers of fossil fuels. But lawyers for the two say they plan to appeal the case to the Oregon Court of Appeals. The teenagers filed the suit in 2011 when Kelsey Juliana was 15 and Olivia Chenek was 11. The litigation is being backed by Our Children's Trust in Eugene. Similar lawsuits naming children as plaintiffs have been filed in all 50 states in a coordinated effort to pressure governments to accelerate efforts to reduce carbon emissions. The lawyers for the two girls say that the judge's decision to rule against them is legally flawed. They say that Oregon's public trust doctrine clearly applies in this case, and that Oregon must make major changes to combat climate change to protect future generations.
Thank you.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Right to Survive Radio at 6 o'clock, and at 7 it's Hard Knock Radio. Tomorrow's weather will be partly cloudy with a high of 72 degrees and a low of 50. Today in history, in 1968, workers in France staged a one-day general strike and 1 million people marched in Paris in support of striking university students. And in 1985, the Philadelphia police drop a C4 bomb on the communal home of MOVE, a black liberation group, after an armed standoff. Six adults and five children were killed in the resulting fire, and approximately 65 nearby homes were destroyed as well. The quote of the day is from Mumia Abu-Jamal, black liberation prisoner, journalist, and supporter of MOVE. "Many people say it is insane to resist the system, but actually, it is insane not to."
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. And now it's your turn to help. Joining us are Rolf and Linda to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hi, and you can support KBOO Radio by calling us at 877-500-5266 and becoming a new member or renewing your membership or even giving a scholarship membership. Whichever works for you, please make that call at 877-500-5266. You've been hearing the KBOO Evening News. You've been hearing on the spot reporting coming directly from scenes of conflict in our city, scenes of protest, scenes of people wanting to protect our reservoirs and protect our environment. This is the only place you're going to hear much of that. You'll hear some reporting if the demonstration's big enough on some of the mainstream channels, but they won't bring you the words of the people like we will hear. We always go directly to the people. If you appreciate that and you appreciate this kind of local coverage, and it's all done by volunteers, show your support right now, 877-500-5266. Hey, I hear the weather is getting great out there. We can't see it from where we are, can we, Rolf?
No.
But you know what can you do in great weather? Ride your bike. Ride your bike to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, right off Burnside. That's
no, right off of Ankeny.
Yes, right off of Ankeny. That's right. It is right off of Ankeny, right between. You'll see a big mural on the front of us. You'll see plenty of bike parking. Come and become a member that way. See what your nickels and dimes and pennies will pay for. You know, that's really mostly all it is for most people. I think the average membership is something like $90, and that's how much a month. I'm not seeing our little
chart. That's $15 a month.
Yeah,
no, that's less than that. That's $8 a month.
That's $8 a month. You know, so that's something many people can do, and we know that on average, our listeners, the people like you who are out there, can contribute that amount. Please, make it be you doing the contribution. Make the rest of your bright, sunny day be even brighter because you know that you've been, you've done your activism today. You've taken a stand on behalf of people hearing the truth about issues going on in our country. It's 877-500-5266.
Yes, or you can do online donation at kboo.fm.
An ever-increasing number of you do it that way, yeah. Whether you're using your smartphone or your computer, you're at work or at home, anyway, you can do it right then. And it takes, I've done it one time that way, about 3 minutes altogether.
Yeah, it takes a couple minutes. It's very easy to do. This is your way to support all the stuff that KBOO brings you, the news, public affairs. It doesn't sound like this on the other radio stations. It's the music, the variety of music we bring you, and all of this is made possible because listeners call us up and contribute. They call 877-500-5266.
You can hear a little bit of a festive atmosphere there in the back. One thing about during our membership drives, it's a chance for people who are ardent volunteers here, some of them who program their own shows, others who work in the administrative offices or at reception. It's their chance to see each other and be excited about that they're all part of KBOO. You know, that's wide open to any of you. I first came down to KBOO to become a member because the news department was saying, would you like to be a news reporter for KBOO? And I was thinking, yeah. And it took me about 6 months. Well, don't let it take you 6 months to go, yeah, I should be a member, and maybe I do want to go down and get trained. Maybe I could be a board op, someone running the technical stuff. Any way you want to do it, become a member at 877-500-5266. Do we have some people
yes,
to thank?
Yes, I'd like to thank Marilyn, a Southeast Portland renewing member. Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, Marilyn.
And
join
we want
Marilyn.
You to join her and the other people who've already joined. 877-500-5266.
We've been doing great this drive. People have been supporting us. We're about a little over halfway through the drive, and we're a little over halfway to it. But the only way we keep that going is by you
right
calling.
Now, calling now.
It's a right now thing.
877-500-5266. We need your help. We need your support. It's easy to do it.
That's the urgent buzzer.
You'll feel good once you've done it. You won't be hearing these annoying voices asking you for money because you've already given. Now is the time. 877-500-5266. We pretty much fund ourselves on listener support, and that is what keeps us going.
It's
volunteers,
listener support and small businesses
who underwrite
us.
People volunteering time and money. And so now's the time to volunteer a little bit of your money to help keep KBOO going strong, as we have been for almost 50 years, not quite 50 years. 877-500-5266.
Make a difference with your dollars. You know, maybe you're someone who just got a big bonus at work. You know, share part of that with KBOO. Know that you put that money to work for the whole community. Many of you already put some of your money to work for the whole community, whether it's KBOO or it's other kinds of organizations that you really support. Well, KBOO brings you the news about every organization that you might be interested, or almost every organization. And when you can hear those kinds of organizations and hear them talk in depth about the issues, that really makes a difference. So when you give your dollars to KBOO, you're making a difference to so many.
877-500-5266. Make that call now.
That's right. Make it right now. Or I like the ride your bicycle down or drive your car down. We're right off Ankeny and Burnside, right in
yes.
between. By Kitty Corner from the bike shop. Please.
KBOO.FM if you want to contribute online.
That's right. It's easy to do online. You know, there's a tip jar. It's a jar in the upper right-hand corner, and it just says donate today. Just click and follow. We do make that easy. You'll see some advances in our website, and that's because our great volunteers helped get us a grant from Meyer Memorial to help build up our website. That's another way that you as a volunteer can make a difference. Come down here and help us find other ways to make the radio go further. Right now, though, it's please pick up your phone, 877-500-5266. If it's a smartphone and it's in your back pocket, save your behind a little trouble and pull it out. It's 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and we need your support. We need your help. Now is the time. $40, basic membership. It's not going to cost you anything. $60. Maybe do $5 a month. You won't even notice it. It's a real good chance.
And if you like supporting the Portland Tree Canopy, a $75 contribution will get you the audio flash drive from our news department and will get you a tree donated by Friends of Trees in your name. Now, back to the KBOO Evening News.
An Amtrak passenger train derailed last night near Philadelphia. So far, there are 7 confirmed fatalities and many more injured. The train in question did not have current safety equipment, and a speed reduction system installed in much of the Northeast Corridor was not installed on the section of track where the crash took place.
The United States House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly today to end the National Security Agency's bulk phone record collection program. The move came after a federal judge ruled that the program was illegal, but left aside the question as to whether it was unconstitutional. The move stripped language from the Patriot Act, allowing the agency to collect bulk phone metadata records from Americans' phone calls. The bill would also prohibit the bulk collection of metadata by other means, including so-called national security letters, which function as a subpoena. The House vote was 388 in favor of ending the program, with 88 opposed. An agreement between the House and Senate must be reached on the provision allowing bulk metadata collection by June 1st, or it will expire. However, there is a larger bipartisan bill supporting the continued surveillance program in the Senate. The bulk metadata collection program was revealed by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden, who remains in Russia, charged with espionage in the U.S.
And now, the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East's Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Wednesday, May 13, 2015. Palestinians mark Nakba Day all over the West Bank and Gaza. Meanwhile, Israeli troops invade West Bank communities and attack homes. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. On Wednesday, Palestinians marked the 67th anniversary of the Nakba Day all over the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Rallies were organized in all major cities. Protesters demanded the right of return and the end of the Israeli occupation. In 1948, Jewish forces destroyed hundreds of Palestinian villages and towns to establish the State of Israel. As a result, more than 800,000 Palestinians were forced to leave their homes and became refugees and still are prevented from returning. According to the Palestinian Central Bureau of Statistics, now there are 5.3 million Palestinian refugees in Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip. Also on Wednesday, Israeli soldiers kidnapped a Palestinian teenager in the northern West Bank city of Nablus and repeatedly beat him, along with three others, allegedly because the teen carried a pocket knife. Local sources said that soldiers detained four Palestinians in Jabal al-Tur area in Nablus after stopping their car and searching it. The three other Palestinians were released after the soldiers interrogated them and inspected their ID cards. Elsewhere, Israeli soldiers invaded on Wednesday at dawn a Beit Iskaria village surrounding the Gosh Etzion settlement block south of Bethlehem, handed a demolishing order to a barn, and handed three families military orders to stop the construction of their homes. The civil administration office run by the Israeli army in the West Bank recently issued similar orders against 34 under-construction homes and structures in the village. The villagers filed appeals against the orders but never received any response from the Israeli side. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, May 13th, 2015 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Joe Kushmawi and me, Ghassan Bandura.
The Vatican has announced that a new treaty will include language that recognizes the State of Palestine. Commentators say that the new relations between the Holy See and the Palestinian Authority will lend increased legitimacy to the government of President Mahmoud Abbas. Remarks from the Israeli government give the impression that the State of Israel considers itself the only entity empowered to deal with the Palestinian issue. With Pope Francis referring to the State of Palestine and other European governments taking measures to recognize the state, the Israeli government continues to make statements such as, "The agreement does not advance the peace process and pushes the Palestinian leadership further from negotiation." A similar agreement, signed in 1993, established relations between the Holy See and the State of Israel.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Nathan Behensky, Galen Sanford, and Jimmy Tardy. The producer is Mike Klepfer. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. The podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland. In Philomath, on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Ethan Martin.
And I'm Brian Pridgett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Voices from the Edge, investigative journalist Greg Palast returns to discuss his latest reports, including what drilling in the Arctic means for Inuit communities. At 9 o'clock, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's a special extended edition of Flashpoints with a feature on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. And at 11:30, hear Words and Pictures. Host S.W. Konzer speaks with Oregon writer Chuck Palahniuk about his new graphic novel, Fight Club 2. Right now, though, it is your chance to show your support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Once again, we have Rolf and Linda to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hi, this is Linda, and I have with me not Rolf, but Cenk. I was going to call you Kenna for some reason. I don't know why. A brain lapse there. But this is your opportunity to show your support for the KBOO Evening News. You know, I'm a news anchor, and I love the evening news. I love what our young producers and reporters put forward for us to be able to do. I love to get the live action coming from on the streets. Support that. Support that kind of radio. Community radio. Real community radio. 877-500-5266. That's the toll-free number. You know, shake it up out there. I hear the weather's getting nice.
Come on by, 20 Southeast 8th. You know, I am here, and Monica is setting up in the other studio. I can see her over there for news from the Boo.
She's
every week.
She's one of our co-chairs.
She's our station co-managers. Her and Mike Crenshaw, a local hip-hop artist. You've probably heard him on the air quite a bit. And they're going to be talking about news from the Boo. But I want to lay it out. We are trying to make about $35,000 more dollars by Saturday. So if we have 35 people give $1,000,
right,
or if we have 1,000 people give $35, or any combination in between that, that will allow us to reach our goal. And that's a goal that actually is the minimal that we need to run this radio station. We are thriving over here, and we do it with your support. This is an amazing phenomenon. People have given to support community radio, support KBOO since 1968, and this station has expanded to be a real powerhouse in the field of journalism. We got recognized by the Fund for Investigative Journalism and did that ALEC investigative project about the Oregon legislature. Linda has been involved in investigative journalism involving the fusion centers here in Oregon. So many of our reporters are doing top-notch work, and they're volunteers. That's what's really amazing about it. People at other paid news agencies like, oh, the Oregonian, the Associated Press, can't seem to be able to pull the stories that our reporters are pulling for no money at all. So our reporters are doing that because we provide free training. That training does cost money. We have some staff. We do have equipment that needs to be paid for. We do have a basic set of expenses, and that is where you come in. If you don't have time to come down and volunteer, well, donate $5 a month, $10 a month.
Call. Yeah, do it.
It's $6.25 and get the audio flash drive that
this
Linda was talking
audio
about.
Audio flash drive is so cool, but let me give you that number. It's 877-500-5266. You call that number, pledge at the $75 level, a tree gets planted because you did that, and you can get the audio flash drive.
You know, you get both. Both the tree and the audio
flash
drive.
Combined, just for $75 or $6.50 a month, it's doable, and we want you to do it.
$6.25 a month. It's even less, even more of a deal. $6.25 a month.
Wow, that's great. It's phenomenal. It's 877-500-5266. Keep the radio station that makes KBOO a beacon throughout the United States for having free press, real independent media. And it's easy for you to do. And I want to tell you about the audio flash. It got all of these wonderful speakers from, you know, Naomi Klein to Sarah Van Gelder to Cornel Weston, Chris Hedges, Winona LaDuke, names you recognize, and then there's a whole bunch more. But I love it also has the software and the instructions on how to encrypt your email, how to protect your computer from the spying that we all know about because we listen to KBOO.
Listen, we need two people to give $10 a month. We need that in the next 17 minutes. We know that you're out there. You're the person that could do $10 a month. Really, it's not very much to do. I give more than that, and I don't have a very high income.
That's
and
right.
I give $20 a month. If you do that, you can get an awesome hoodie. The number to call, 877-500-5266. Be a hero for the news and help us reach our goal, and let KBOO know that the news is supported here, that people really do care. $10 a month. Can you do it? 877-500-5266.
And now it's time for KBOO News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
That's right. It's time for News from the Boo, our weekly program. Wednesdays around 5:45, when we hear from folks inside of KBOO about things happening inside the station and in the greater KBOO community. Tonight, we're with station co-manager Monica Beamer and program director and youth collective coordinator Aaron Yankee. Hello to both of you.
Hi.
Our phone lines will be open tonight if you'd like to call with a question or a comment. The number to call is 503-231-8187. That is 503-231-8187. Okay, there's only a few days left on the spring membership drive. How's it going, Monica?
It's going well. We have until Saturday at 2 p.m., so a few days left. So now is the time. If you have not called, we need you today to call 877-500-5266. We have a $95,000 goal. We're at about $57,000. So we need our community to come in. It's like, you know, when you're moving house and you need those folks who come the last few hours and really pull it through for you. It's a community, your radio station, give us a call. It's going well.
Aaron, any specials to tell us about?
Oh yeah, we have tomorrow there's Andy Hosh on Africa Oye is going to do a focus on high life from mostly Nigerian and Ghanaian recordings that happened late 50s, mid-50s to mid-60s or so. It's wonderful, great music, and you'll focus on that between 2 to 4 tomorrow. Wednesday, Friday,